This is Emma Griffiths on ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.
Today with Christine Bagley-Jones, talking about the power of social media, really. Now, Christine, in what ways do you see social media being addictive?
I can see that it is on the rise in terms of people leaning into it for all sorts of reasons. It's easy, it's accessible, it's current, it's a quick fix to boredom. I see people lean into it because they're trying to numb pain or procrastinate other things that they have to do, or it's just outsourcing entertainment instead of generating it internally, unfortunately.
We can't be our own entertainers anymore, make ourselves laugh.
No, we can't. We can't even sit at a bus stop and just wait for the bus patiently and maybe look around at the environment.
No, that would be so strange, wouldn't it?
Or, God forbid, chat to the person next to you.
I know, I'm always the weirdo doing that too, Christine. So it can be, you know, I guess benign. When you talk about procrastinating, hopefully you're not putting off something that's, you know, really important. But you've heard about quite serious impacts on people because they see the good life on social media. What have you seen?
Well, unfortunately, people forget that a lot of what you see on social media is fabricated, and even if it's not a paid influencer, it's people documenting the best parts of their life. And if you get a few friends that happen to be simultaneously on holidays, it generates this feeling that everybody's having a better time than yourself. And that FOMO starts to lend itself to you perhaps being impulsive and thinking to yourself...
Hang on. Fear of missing out. Okay, FOMO, fear of missing out. Christine's way on top of all of this.
Hip.
You are so hip to the groove, as I am obviously not. So that FOMO, what can it do? Is it a bit like, you know, keeping up with the Joneses kind of?
Yes, it is. It's a bit like that. But it's also, it taps into the fact that, you know, we all just want to have a happy life and we want to believe that our life is good enough. And when we're watching all of this on social media, we feel inadequate and that can lead to anxiety and real dissatisfaction about a life that's perfectly good. So we make up for it by impulsively purchasing a holiday or upgrading a holiday. So not just to have the experience, but also in the back of our mind, I can also post something really amazing also, and people will see that I'm having a great life.
Mm. It's like that fabulous female comedian who's made a living out of paying out celebrities' Instagram posts. Oh, far out. What is her name?
I follow her.
Yeah.
She's so funny.
Okay. Rob, what is that comedian's, the female comedian's name who posts the Instagram photos where she's paying out celebrities?
She's simultaneously taking a photograph of herself in a next to a model's shot.
Yeah. And, oh, it's Celeste Barber. Thank you, Rob.
Yes.
Thank you. Rachel Mealy from AM is also here in the studio. She loves her, obviously. Christine, so we'd want to follow her, wouldn't we? Because she just offers that sort of real life antidote.
She really does. She makes it laughable because it is contrived, and it's good to have a bit of a laugh at how far people have gone to try to illuminate a life that's just not realistic.
Do you see a particular age group or a particular demographic that's more susceptible to feeling this fear of missing out?
I do, Emma. Certainly our young people, so, you know, around 18 to 24 or even a little bit younger, are more inclined to be taken and swept up in the whole experience. Girls, single girls, are the highest in the population of people that are vulnerable. But really anybody that perhaps is lonely or has self-esteem issues or just feeling a bit down about their life or have issues with impulsivity, you know, they just press before they think, could be susceptible to jumping the gun and making mistakes.
Mm. And what sort of repercussions can that have for them?
Oh, they can be diabolical. You know, from the comfort of your lounge or bedroom, you can clock up a massive credit card bill, and that's what we're seeing happen. And then after the holiday's over, they're left with this debt that they can't service. But in addition to that, they've got nothing to look forward to or even really show for it. It's just a very depleting experience and can lead to depression.
I mean, I wonder as well about this appearance thing. We've had for so long now, you know, the debate about whether advertising, the use of certain body types in magazines, how much that influences people, in particular young women. But now we're seeing it also with young men and body disorders, you know, the way that they view their own bodies. Is it like we're building on that kind of reliance on your appearance with social media?
Yes, I think it does. It draws from our sensitivities about, you know, wanting to have an ideal or a perfect kind of life. And yeah, it taps into your physical attributes and wanting to be more attractive. And even though we know that so much that we're seeing on social media is filtered or airbrushed or manipulated in some way, over time, subliminally, day in, day out, we're seeing these beautiful images of people and of places and of beautiful people in beautiful places, and we absorb it like osmosis, and we end up wanting it. And when we feel like we're falling a lot short, we might then, again, overspend or get our priorities a little bit skewed and start to invest too much in the superficiality of how we look or how we're presenting on social media.
Now, so there's the problem, and you've seen it in quite a few different forms that can be quite diabolical. So how do you stop it? Do you just take it off your device? Do you just not be on social media?
Oh, yes, and everyone will do that. Yeah. Everyone will just today, if I make that recommendation, they'll just delete the app. Can you even delete Facebook and social and Instagram off your phone now?
But you're still on there. Right. Just means you can't get it through your phone.
Yeah. Realistically, nobody's going to. Well, if people have already engaged and they haven't had a really traumatic experience, they're likely to continue. So it's around discipline. It's around making a choice about what's important in your life and not losing perspective. I don't think it's harmful to watch a little bit of social media, especially if it's a way of keeping up with friends and people that live further away. But just remember the context. These people aren't with you right now, and this isn't showcasing their entire life, and your entire life doesn't need to be documented on social media. You need to go and have your life, and you need to feel good about who you are, independent of what's happening with social media, because you're working on your self-esteem and self-worth, and you're ensuring you've got actual friends that genuinely love you. So not just leaning on the virtual experiences of being liked or followed.
Actual friends that really love you. So that brings me to an issue that Rob also brought up earlier. Rob's the weekend's producer, of course. He was saying that he saw something about how people with the most friends on Facebook often have fewer friends in real life and then are feeling quite lonely and isolated by that. Have you seen that?
Well, definitely, because if you think about how many hours you've got in the day and you're busy with your work or study or other pursuits, we can really only nurture a handful of friends if you want to have that deeper relationship that's built on trust.
I've got a friend that's actually said, I have no, like, she's a really good friend, so I'm lucky, because she said, I've got no openings for new friends at the moment. I'm too busy.
Yes, yes.
I'm chockers.
Well, if you look at the stats on that over a lifetime, we can't service too many friends and still maintain that depth. So it's a trade-off. You either have a few deep relationships that are there to, you know, make your chicken soup and, you know, hear the rough times and see it through, or you could have a large number of people that seem to really enjoy you from a more superficial acquaintanceship distance, which I don't know if they'll make the chicken soup for you or be there when you're grieving about something really upsetting in life or really celebrating your wins. And that's where happiness lives, in the closer, fewer friendships that you can be dedicated to and ride the waves versus the hundreds or so social media friends. And in fact, that can be very destabilizing, because the bigger your audience, the more self-conscious you are about your posts, and that knock-on effect of wanting to perfect the way you're presenting, it's a trap. And during the course of your life, you can only really get to know, I think they say something like 150 people like at a big event that was like a milestone event, you would only ever think that you could in max have around 150 people over the course of your life.
Yet on Facebook or another app, you could have 500, 600 friends if you really wanted to.
Oh, gosh, yes.
So I guess one of the more serious repercussions you've seen from this is getting into debt. So how can you stop that urge, that impulse to click the button, buy that holiday, and then enjoy it for 2 weeks but live for several years probably with the debt? How do you stop that?
Well, I could naively say, and this is what I would really recommend, is save up for things. Go old school. You know, gone are the days now where we plan for a holiday and we gradually save up for it, and there's that wonderful, exhilarating build-up, and you talk to people about the plans, and you feel like you've earned the holiday, and there's that lovely extra boost when you're on holiday because it does feel like a reward that you can celebrate. And after the holiday, you're not slapped with the hangover of a debt. That would be great, but I tend to see people more and more just whack it on the credit card, deal with it later. If you're going to take that path, just do the calculations. Make sure you can look after the debt and it not be depleting your quality of life post-holiday. Otherwise, the holiday will end up being more detrimental than good for your well-being. And in addition to that, understand the risks involved with the commitment that you make. Like, if I'm going to spend this money, where am I getting the money? Where am I taking it from? Am I missing out on catching up with these real friends that I love to do every couple of weeks? And what is it that's big? Actually understand the bigger picture and go back to understanding what's important for yourself and whether taking a break has to be a really costly experience or can you do it more simply? And of course, just discipline, just garden variety, discipline, just a little bit of delayed sense gratification, a little bit of being clear around how long you even want to be on social media each day and sticking to it.
Discipline, that can be a pretty hard thing to actually find. Self-discipline, Christine.
Yes. Yep, it's one of the wonderful things a parent could nurture in their young people if they, you know, felt inclined. That's an area that I see a big difference between those that are really thriving and those that are struggling. It's whether they have that discipline. And the best litmus test is whether they can flick off social media once that 10 minutes is up.
Okay, so is that one of your tips? Just limit it. Mm-hmm. Remember the context for using social media.
Mm-hmm.
And what sort of limits would you put around it?
Well, it's very personal and it definitely depends on your age. And like if you're young and you're supposed to be studying and you're on social media, like I'm sure my children do, despite the fact vehemently denying it, then I would say that, you know, they need to be really sharp about, you know, keeping their device away because they're, I guess, the most vulnerable to lean into the addiction. As you get older, you might be able to be a bit more flexible, but just monitor your time and just look at it as screen time. So I put it in the same category as television or any screen. And so I limit that because I feel like reading and other forms of relaxation and recreation and engagement is definitely more meaningful. So I always prioritize that.
Mm. Christine, I feel like this has already given me ideas for future conversations that we can have because you're with us every fortnight on ABC Radio Brisbane. Really appreciate that. Hope you've got something out of that too, listening. I'm sure you have. Christine, thank you.
You're welcome.
On your radio and online.
At home or on the road.
This is ABC Radio.